We can sing glory, glory, hallelujah, because God is marching on. He is in control. He's not on vacation. He's not asleep. He's working out his purposes in our world. So good to have you here today in the Lord's house. Glad that you've come to chosen to worship with us. Those who are visiting, we want you to feel especially welcome. Those who may be in the parking lot and those who might be listening later on the website, we're so glad that each one of you has chosen to worship with us today at Barbie's Grove. It's a special day to remember those who have fought and those who have given their lives that we might have the freedoms that we have. We should never take them for granted because we never know what enemies may try to take them away from us. Most of all, we're grateful for the freedom that Jesus gives us over sin and the devil, and the promise of eternal life. May we pray. Lord, we're so thankful to be Americans, to live here, to have the freedoms that we have. Most of us can think of family members and friends who've been in the military, who've given so much for our freedom. And Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for their sacrifice. But most of all, we thank you for the sacrifice of the cross, where Jesus died for our sin to give us eternal life. Now, Father, we thank you that you're here with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Comfort, encourage, challenge, direct, whatever you need to say to us, Lord, we want to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. Everyone's looking well this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend and in honor of America. And to pay honor to America and to these men, we want to do the Pledge of Allegiance at this particular time. If you would please stand the Pledge of Allegiance. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You may sit down. We want to recognize the service, the soldiers who have gone on, who have given great sacrifice to us all. And I want to recognize those men now. Jeff, if you can bring that up. There we go. Paul Barbie, World War I. Ernest R. Burris, United States Navy. Excuse me, Army. Hugh W. Balcom, World War II. Alan Davis, United States Marines. Floyd L. Udy, United States Army. Harvey Lee Udy, United States Army. Artis Hatley, United States Navy. Vernon Hatley, United States Army. William L. Jackman Jr., United States Marines. Charlie McClester, United States Army. Clayton Ted Morgan, United States Army. Jimmy Morton, United States Army. Gurney O. Smith, United States Navy. And Paul L. Thompson, United States Army. John C. Chuck Walker, United States Navy, Don E. Whitley, United States Army, Lloyd A. Whitley, United States Army, and Houston A. Yao, United States Army. I hope I have not omitted anyone, but if I have, please correct me. All right. With that being said, I want us now to go to our hymn sing for today. Our hymn sing today talks about sacrifice and what a great sacrifice Christ gave for us all, as these men who I have just acknowledged gave a great sacrifice. Christ gave a great sacrifice that we may be here today and know salvation. Let's all stand and sing Jesus Paid It All. We'll do all four verses as we stand and sing the hymn sing this morning. Someone this morning. We certainly do welcome everyone this morning, and as your visitors, you're here, our special guest. I want to welcome Landon back there. I hadn't seen Landon in a while. He's actually a father, and there's Eva Ann with got a great grandchild with her this morning. What a group, good group that is back there. That's worthy of a picture, and I may make one for it. So with Landon, good to have you, and good to have your son. And Eva Ann, it's good to see you with your children this morning. It's always a pleasure. So thank you all for again this morning. I've got a card I want to read to you as on the announcement side of this morning. This says thank you, and it says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's in Galatians 6:9 through 6-9. It says, "Dear members of Barbers Grove Baptist Church, thank you for your donation to the Baptist Children's Home Food Drive. May God bless you, Stanley Montgomery Baptist Association." And certainly we do say thank you, Barbers Grove. You came through like always. You truly, truly did. You truly did. All right, I have a few announcements. I want to remind the nominating committee. You nominating committee members, tomorrow night, 6:30. Be here in your place and smiling faces. We'll get the work done. So good to see you. All right. And as far as the announcements go, we're pretty much going to stay within normal. But today, of course, is Memorial Day. But also we will have the observance of the Lord's Supper, which will be at the end of the service today. All right. Now, then, as upcoming events, as we've got here, Vacation Bible School. Miss Rita, do you want to speak to that this morning?
With Vacation Bible School is going to be June 27th and July 1st. And our theme this year is Spark Studios, Creating in Christ, Designed for God's Purpose. And we're going to learn that God's creativity didn't stop with Genesis. And it tells us in Ephesians, where is workmanship, a masterpiece in progress, or process. So I'm going to read that scripture to you real quick. That'll be our focus for the week. For we are his workmanship, this is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And, we're going to learn a lot about God's creation and how he created us for a purpose. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back for everybody to, put down your desired area, where you want to help out. We need teachers we just need everything. I started with age 3 just because I tried, in this process of trying to get this together, I tried to think about what ages we have in the church and who might be bringing friends. And just because nursery is not on there does not mean we cannot have one. If somebody, if somebody has a need for that, then we will make that happen. So if anybody says, "Well, I would come, but I don't have anybody to keep my baby," let us know. We will make that happen. We're also going to have an adult class, and so we want our adults to come out and enjoy the Bible school with us. It'll be a lot of fun. And you'll see back there, when you go to sign up, there were some people that had already volunteered, so I went ahead and filled those names in. So for those people, just go back there and look and make sure I got everybody in the right place where they requested to be. Also, if there's an area that that all the spaces are filled in, and that's the area you were saying, "Man, I was going to sign up for that." Go ahead and put your name down on that area. Just put it on the line with somebody else or out by the side, and we can get you in those spots. And also, we'll have a meal every night, so you'll have to worry about getting dinner. That will be provided for you, and then we'll come up here and start our Bible school rally and get our Bible school started each night.
Thank you, Miss Rita. Normally, when you think, if I have one little plug here, I'm going to get in for the adults. Normally, you think a Bible school is for the children, and indeed it is, but it's also for the adults too. And we will have the adult class, so come on, the adults, and let's go ahead and fill that class up. We've done it before, and we can do it again. Okay? All right. Any announcements? I've got one more that I want to share with you, and that is we will have a call conference on June the 12th. The purpose is to consider changes to the Constitution, bylaws. Copies of the proposed changes will be available by June the 5th. Please be here for that conference. It's a very important time to the life of our church, and nothing stays the same. Sometimes you have to adjust to change, and that's what this is all about. All right. Any announcements that I have overlooked anywhere? All right. Let's go now to our prayer requests. And I have quite a few that's been handed to me already this morning, and I want to share those with you now. Let's continue to remember Wendell Talley, Dave's dad. Angela Fricks, you're having some tests. I think everything's going to be all right. Yeah.
June the 10th is going to be one of them that I'm going to have some of the tests done on. So.
Well, you're looking just super, so I know you're going to be fine. Trust the Lord for that, don't we?
Yep.
Amen. Carson Smith, I understand he fell and broke a leg, a student at West Stanley. Stephen Helms, heart attack. Kenny Linker, still sick, under the weather. Let's remember Kenny. And then Kitty Hahn, I understand, had surgery. Did somebody bring me up to date on that? I mean, she had elective surgery. Is that right?
Yes. She is, as of last night, back in the hospital. I don't know an update today.
Okay.
So, yes.
That's Lionel's mom. Lionel's mom, just in case you don't recognize the name Kitty. I think everybody does, but just in case you don't. Okay. Anyone else this morning? Oh, I'm sorry. Your brother. Yes. I had him down here a second. I don't know why I didn't say it, Jeff. Jeff's brother with cancer. And Jeff, go ahead. You want to bring us up to date on that?
All we know right now is stage 3 melanoma. And he's going to decide all the treatment.
Okay. We'll keep in prayer, David. Yes. Yes. Okay. Are the others? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, prayers for me. I'm having a cataract surgery August 11th. I know it probably don't seem like a lot, but a little bit nerve wracking.
Any of it is serious if it's for you, right? I mean, you know, that's not the way surgery works, isn't it? It's all serious. No, God's going to be with you. God's going to be. Lori.
Keep remembering Jeff's mom, too.
Yeah.
She's still in rehab. We haven't told her anything that's going on yet, so we've got to be in prayer for the family.
Yes, we should have done that. I'm sorry. Okay, are the others?
I need you to make that the family of Jamie Hopkins.
Jamie
Hopkins.
Yeah, sure. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you always for an opportunity we can have to come together and to worship. Now, Lord, we thank you for each one who decided this morning to get up and come to the Lord's house and pay you time for worship and for gratitude and for thanks. But now, Lord, as we are lifting up prayer this morning and on behalf of everyone, Lord, I want to be specific on some members who have asked for prayer. And now, Lord, as we remember those people this morning, I pray for Wendell Talley. I pray for him that he will receive healing. And for Jeff's brother, Lord, who has been diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, we lift him up to you today, Lord, and we pray for Jeff and all the family who will be ministering to him. We pray for Angela Frick this morning as she will be having tests. We pray for her healing. Carson Smith, who broke a leg as a student. We pray for Stephen Helms, who had a heart attack. And with Brother Kenny, Lord, we lift him up to you this morning. We pray for healing for him and that he'll get to feeling better really soon. And then for Miss Kitty Hahn, Lord, we pray for her as she has had surgery and with difficulty to follow. Rita Crisco, we pray for her, Lord, who's in the hospital this morning. We lift her up to you as well this morning. Joyce Kimry, Lord, who has cancer, we pray for her. Robert High, who is going to be having surgery, Lord, in his eyes, we lift him up to you and we pray for healing and the eyesight back to 20/20. We lift up Jeff's mom to you this morning, Lord, who's continuing on with therapy, Lord, but we pray for her. And then, Lord, for the family of Janie Hopkins, we pray for them. As we go forward today, Lord, in our service today, Lord, help us now, Lord, as we go forward, and we pray a special blessing upon each one who have a part. As Pastor Ed comes before for us today, Lord, Lord, I thank you for him and what he does for our church. We thank you, Lord, for a time of communion that we'll have a time today, Lord, to honor you. And then, Lord, as we think of honor, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this Memorial Day weekend. A Memorial Day that we can remember those who have fallen and the great sacrifice they made, that we may be able to be here today. And Lord, I thank you for all that the names that I read this morning. I lift them up. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for that we'll all remember those names and for the sacrifices they made for our good. Now, Lord, go with us as for the duties as we go forward into our service today. And Lord, I'll be very, very thankful to you always, and I'll be very careful to give you all the honor and all the glory. And these blessings I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as I end our worship time, I'm going to do a song. Well, we're going to do a song. I scared you, didn't I? We're going to do a song, and it's called Sweet, Sweet Spirit. You know, Jesus said he would not leave us without a comforter, and that comforter is with us now. And the screen is up, sir. And Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face.
Children, you are dismissed.
Four or 500 years ago, there was just one major denomination in the western part of the world. There was a young man that was looking for peace with God. He became a priest, but no peace with God. He attained the highest education he could in that day, a doctorate. No peace with God. He taught Bible in college and seminary. Still no peace with God. He began to deprive himself of certain things. For example, sleeping in a cold room. No peace with God. He went to the Vatican and had an audience with the Pope. No peace with God. There's a special stairway there that he climbed. No peace with God. You know, he did everything he could possibly think of and everything that his church taught him, but he had no peace with God. And then one day he was reading Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says, the just shall live by faith. And as Martin Luther contemplated what it meant to live with his life placed in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he found his peace with God. Long before that, in Romans chapter 4 and first part of chapter 5, if you want to turn there, Paul lays out for us how we have peace with God. Now remember, the Jews of that day were looking for their salvation, their peace, their eternal security on the fact that they are descendants of Abraham. They had the laws that had been given to Moses, and they had that special rite of circumcision that came through Abraham. Their salvation was based on those works. But Paul spends 20 some verses there reminding them of the historical situation. Remember Abraham's story? God said, listen, I will take you to a land that I will show you. God didn't get a map out and point to a certain place. He just said, we're going to start on a journey. You know, sometimes Christian Tours does these mystery trips. And maybe they'll tell you to pack for cold weather or warm weather, but you don't know whether they're going to Florida or they're going to Maine. You're on a mystery trip. And so it was that Abraham was on a mystery trip. God says, you go. Abraham believed God, trusted God, packed up his family and all of his belongings, and started out. Every step of the way, think about it, every fork of the road, Abraham had to listen and say, God, do I go right? Do I go left? Here's the crossroads. Do I turn right? Do I turn left? Or do I keep going straight ahead? Every step, Abraham had to trust God. God said to him, I'm going to give you a child. It's going to be through Sarah. And I'm sure that when Abraham was looking in the mirror, he said, you got to be kidding. And when he looked at Sarah, he thought, you really got to be kidding. I mean, we are old. God, you haven't noticed how old we are? We've never had a child. And now we're way past childbearing age. We are old, God. Don't you get it? And yet, Abraham kept trusting God. You see, Paul is saying to us, as he was saying to those Jewish people, faith in God, our eternal salvation, is based upon a life that's yielded to the Lord. A faith that says yes to God. And on the basis of that faith, Abraham found his peace with God. In Romans 4, verse 3, it says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Abraham believed God, and God says, "You and I are in right standing with one another." All because he believed and he trusted in what God was saying. What was Paul saying to these Jewish people? He was saying, listen, folks, it's not outward ritual. It's not some kind of works. It's faith in God that matters. That's what Martin Luther found. He couldn't do enough to bring that inner peace. He did everything possible, but he had no peace with God. But once he came to a place where he had faith and trusted in the Lord, then the peace came. You see, salvation, a peace with God, comes not from a list of works, but a yes, a yieldedness. It's not a church, it's not a doctrine, it's a relationship. It doesn't matter how many churches you're a part of. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. It doesn't matter what type of baptism you've had. It matters whether or not we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the song that Leonard picked out, "Jesus Paid It All," is so very, very true. Salvation isn't 50-50. God did 50% and you got to do 50%. It's not 60-40, 70-30, 90-10. Jesus did it all. Everything that we need for salvation took place 2,000 years ago on a cross outside of Jerusalem. And in a resurrection that took place 3 days later. Our salvation all belongs to Jesus. He paid it all. And our salvation is still a work of God. Do you remember a scripture that says, no one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws him? You know, a person can sit in a church, they can read a Bible, they can do anything they want to do, but unless the Holy Spirit reaches into their heart and draws them to Jesus, they're not going to be saved. I remember many, many years ago talking with a young guy about his religious experiences. And he said, well, when I decide to, I want to be religious, I'm going to sit down with a book and read about all the major religions of the world, and then I'm going to decide which one I'm going to join. Well, you know, I only met that guy for one summer, so I have no clue what happened to him. But folks, if the Holy Spirit didn't draw him to Jesus, he's lost. And we'll be forever lost. The Holy Spirit draws us. It's his work. You know, Jesus paid it all on the cross. He proved it all with the resurrection. The Holy Spirit comes to you and to me and to every person who hears the gospel and says, Jesus is the Savior. He died for you. He rose again. Will you trust him? He doesn't tell you where the journey's going to be. And after we trust him, we have to allow him to direct us to every step of the way. Every crossroad, every fork in the road. but it's His direction. Paul was saying to those Jewish people, listen, it's not works. It's not family ties. I remember being in seminary and got a call from what they call the placement office, and they said, there's a preacher sick up in Virginia. Can you go up there and preach Sunday? Well, at that time, I wasn't preaching anywhere, so I did. And as I was meeting some of the older codgers around there, some of the old guys, one of them went to brag and said, you know, this old building, says my granddaddy made the brick down there at the creek bank down yonder, and pointed, you know, in the direction. Made the brick down there at the creek bank that built this building. And he went on and on and on, and I'm thinking, I don't care if your granddaddy did make the brick. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? That's what counts. That's what counts. And Paul was saying to those Romans to whom he wrote, and he's saying to us, what kind of relationship do you have with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you walk in faith? Do you trust Him? You see, the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus, and our only thing we can do is say yes or no. That's our little bitty part of salvation. Jesus does everything but say yes for us. Now, He's already enlightened us, drawn us, and that simple yes seals the deal. Now, if we say no, that also seals the deal. It all depends upon what we agree to believe. We can agree to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can disagree and say, well, I don't believe that. I don't think I need a Savior. I don't want a Savior. We can do that. It's our decision. It's our choice. But we get to make the decision. You know, when we say yes, the verses that Paul says in Romans 5, 1 and 2, so precious. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Paul says, when we have faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace. Oh, you know, it's a wonderful thing to just know I'm a child of God. That doesn't mean the devil doesn't assault you with doubts and from time to time. He will. But then you just know, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I gave my heart, my life to Him. I'm saved. And what a thrill that is. You know, when a child of God comes near to the end of life, they can just think, my next step is into heaven. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to fret over it. I am on my way to heaven. He says, we have peace. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a preacher friend of mine, and he can tell this so much funnier than I can, but you know, he said when he was a kid, he, quote, got saved about 10 or 15 times. He got saved in the Methodist church and the Baptist church and this crusade and that crusade and calling CBN and everybody else. And he got saved and said, every time it lasted about 3 days. And then the devil would convince him he wasn't saved. He'd be ugly to his little sister or something. And he'd think, well, I must not have been saved. And said, finally, he and his family went to a Billy Graham crusade. And he must have been 12, 13 at that point. And said, every one of them in the family went down and accepted Jesus. And he said, you know, there was just so much joy in the car on the way home. And he said, he told them, says, y'all enjoy this because it won't last but 3 days. But said a few days later, the phone rang. Picked it up and he says, I'm looking for Greg. Said, well, I'm Greg. Said, did you walk down the aisle and accept Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade a few days ago? Yeah, I did. Well, I'm just calling to check on you to be sure of your salvation. Well, you know, I'm not so sure about that. He said, well, if you heard from God and God said you were saved, would you believe it? He said, yeah, I'd believe it if God said it. He said, do you have a Bible? Yeah. Turn to Romans 10. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Greg said, would you say that again? And the man read it to him again. Would you read that again? And after about the third or fourth time, Greg said, I got it. I believed with my heart, I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I'm saved. And Greg says, now I said, I can have the worst day of my life, but I know I'm saved because I believed in my heart, confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I know I'm saved. He has peace with God. And every person that has believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth, the Lord Jesus has peace with God. Not only that, we have peace. He says we have access by faith into God's grace. We stand in God's grace. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's so many blessings of being a Christian. You know, I think about it. I've been a Christian now for basically 70 years. And I see people that aren't believers, and I think, how do they make it? How do they face difficulty? How do they face life's troubles without Jesus? Without knowing. You know, it's such a joy just to be able to, you don't have to bow your head and close your eyes, just to say, Lord, I got this problem, I've got this need. I've got this hurt. I've got this difficulty. Lord, and know there's somebody on the other end of the line listening to me that loves me more than I love myself, that loves me more than my mama loved me, that cares about me more than my wife cares about me. Though I know my mama and my wife do love me. My mama did, my wife does. But to know that love, it's beyond understanding. What a joy, what a comfort it is to have a Heavenly Father to whom we can go with our need. What joy belongs to the believer? Jesus paid it all. And I pray that every person that's in this building, every person that might be in the parking lot, every person that might be listening later on the website, knows Jesus in a personal way. You can't be religious enough. You can't be good enough. It all comes down to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes down to faith. What is faith? Faith is hearing the voice of God. Faith is believing what God has said. And faith is acting upon it. Abraham heard. Go. Abraham believed it. Abraham went. And Abraham was justified and had his peace with God. Martin Luther heard. He believed. He acted. And he had his peace with God. And so it is with all of us. We hear. We believe. We choose to act. But it all goes back to Jesus paid it all. As we come now in a few moments to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion. What does the table say down there? In remembrance of me? I like to think of it in three ways. We look back at the cross and we remember what Jesus did for us. But also we look at the present and remember what Jesus is doing for us right now. Like I wrote for the newsletter this week, it's amazing that Jesus can take the messes, mistakes of our life and make something beautiful out of it. I don't know whether I quoted the words of that song right or not, but I didn't look it up. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. Amen. We look at what Jesus, we remember what Jesus is doing for us now. And we remember what we are promised for eternity. Place of no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no tears. Place of glory and joy for all of eternity. Oh, Jesus, what a wonderful Savior he is. And I pray he's your Lord and your Savior. I pray he's your Lord and Savior. Would you now, as you take your cups, just remind you there's a little flap, and if you'll open it, you'll find a piece of bread. That night in the upper room, Jesus said, "This is my body. My body. Anyone else that needs it? This is my body. It's going to be broken for you." And truly that next day, with the beatings, the crown of thorns, the spear in the side, all kinds of horrific things were done to his body. She said, "Take and eat." There's another little flap there that will help you to get to the juice, which is a symbol of his blood shed for you. The Bible says apart from the shedding of blood, there's no remission or there's no forgiveness of sin. What does the song say? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for you. drink you all of it. As we leave here this morning, may you go in God's peace. And Leonard's going to lead us in singing, "Blessed Be the Tithe."
Blessed be.